Today's shiur is Masechta Ksubas Daf Chaf. We will begin on Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis, 10 lines from the bottom. As we've been discussing over our last couple of shiurim, Edim who come to be Mekayim Shtar, Edim who come to certify, verify their signature on a shtar, but at the same time said something that would disqualify the shtar, as we've been discussing under certain circumstances, they're believed, and sometimes they're not believed. So begins the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan Shnayim Chsum El Shtar. There were two Edim signed in a Shtar or Mesu, and they passed away. Ubar Shnayim in a Shuk, and two people who are not, obviously, the Edim on the Shtar, came to do the certification of the Shtar. Vamo Yodana Shuksav Yodim Hu, we are able to verify that these are the signatures of the people whose names appear on the shtar. Ava nusim hayu. They say that those eidim were anusim, ktanim hayu, psul eidis hayu. In all these cases, they claim that the eidim that they know who signed the shtar, they had whatever disqualifications, harei el namanim. In all these cases, they're believed. And as Rashi explains, that we rip up the shtar because we're believing what they say. However, the Raja points out that this, that Rashi says, that if this is the claim that the Edom make, we believe what they say, that these other Edom say, we believe what they say, says the Rajba, that, and we rip up the shtar, that's only in a situation where the Malva is not counterclaiming that the shtar is a good shtar. But if the Malva is counterclaiming that it's a good shtar, so we have to pay attention to that, what he says, and we have to leave the shtar as it is and not just rip it up. The other Rishonim, however, say, ask, how could Rashi, and essentially the Rajbab, say that we just rip up the shtar? The only reason we're believing them is because there's no one else to certify the shtar other than them. But if we have other Edim, then the situation, as we're going to learn, changes. So why are we so quick to rip up the shtar, even if the Malva is not making a counterclaim? I saw that the Rishonim point out that the way to understand our Gemara is if the Malva is not even making a counterclaim to say that the shtar is a good shtar, so then we don't have to make that counterclaim on his behalf. And if he's not making that claim, we don't make that claim on his behalf, and we just rip up the shtar. However, the Ritva, because of the question that we just discussed, actually has a different pshat in the Gemara. And the Ritva pshat in the Gemara is that we just don't rip up the shtar. What we do is we leave the shtar. If these Edom are making this claim, it's a claim that we have to pay attention to, but it's a claim that we leave on the side. We leave the shtar on the side until we have a final disposition. What is the status on the shtar? Says the Gemara further, says the Braisa, Vim yesh adam shiksav yodam uzeh. But if there are other Edom who are able to testify and say, we know that this is the signature of the people who are signed in it, or we could recognize these signatures. How? Mishtar shekar lav iror. We have a different document that was contested. And Bezdin verified that this is indeed the signature of these Edim. Then the halacha is, ein el namanim. Then these original Edim are not believed. So there's a number of pshatim and the Rishonim how to understand this Gemara. The Tosfos explains that is only that this that was saying that if the Edim say that the shtar, that they can verify the shtar, then the halacha is that the Edim here are saying that everybody's agreeing that these individuals who signed in the shtar were not always puzzled. So since not everybody's agreeing that they were not always disqualified Edom, and we have Edom who are verifying the signature, that's enough to make the shtar kosher. The Rosh, however, says that even if the Edom who are signed on the shtar and whose signature we know is their signature, even if at this point they are not kosher Edus, that doesn't have any bearing on the shtar. Because the fact that they were asked to sign the shtar, and the fact that we know that this is indeed their signature, is enough for us to be able to assume halakhically that this shtar is kosher. The Ramban makes a difference what is being said of why these Edom who are signed in the shtar were disqualified. If the testimony about the validity of their of these Edus is that they're gazlonim, that they're people who are inherently possible, then the halacha is we don't assume that those were the people that were asked to sign a shtar. However, if the claim against them is that they were relatives, relatives don't represent an inherent disqualification. And therefore, there is a concern that maybe they were relatives, and it just wasn't recognized that they were relatives. And therefore, in such a case, we're going to have to be machmer. Says the Gemara, but why is that the halacha? Given the different explanations we gave, we're saying that if there are two Edom who are able to independently verify the signature, and we don't need to rely on the Edom who are saying that they signed, that these were Edom, but they had some sort of disqualification, then the shtar is 100% usable. But why is that, asked the Gemara? V'mai, trevi treinenu. Why shouldn't this be considered a situation of trevi trei? Two Edom are saying that it's kosher, and two Edom are saying it's not kosher and should be left in a question mark, says the Gemara. Amar Vashi, the fact that this is not a concern, Zoysa Meres, this is a proof that a chosher tchilas azoma. The halacha is that there are two ways of disqualifying an aid. One way of disqualifying an aid is by chosher, that somebody says what you're saying is not true. The other way is what's known as hazoma, where Edom say, we were here at this time in this place witnessing this episode, and the other Edom come and say, the Edom Zomim come and say, the Edom Azimim come and say, it's impossible that that was the case. Imano Yisem, you were with us elsewhere. That the Torah tells us a halacha that we believe the second pair of Edom. And the halacha is that hazoma requires that the Edom, who are the Edom Azimim, have to, both pairs of Edom have to be together. And the reason both pairs of Edom have to be together, because hazoma is considered that we're not questioning the story that happened or didn't happen. We're questioning the Edom. And since we're questioning the Edom, then every person has the right and the responsibility that we have to have him there when we testify against him. So that's why they have to be there. Says Rav Sheshes that Achosha has in a situation of Achosha, which as we just explained, is a very different type of a situation than Hazama, but still says Rav Sheshes that Achosha has some common characteristics and some common halachas with Hazama. What does that mean? That means that just like as we said a moment ago, that by Hazama, the Edom on who was saying Hazama have to be there, the same thing is by Achosha. The Edom who we're going to try to dispute have to be there. Ukshem, says the Gemara. Ukshem Sheim Azim is Edom El Bifneim. So as we just finished explaining, Hazama has to take place with the Edom who were trying to be Mazim being there. And the explanation and the reason for that is the Torah says regarding a shor, an axe who does damage, the Torah says, for who had the ball of? And the Gemara Masechta Baba Kama, Daf Kuf Yud Beis Amar Beis, explains that that pasuk comes to teach us that Yova Bala Shor V'Yamin Al Shoyrei. If I'm going to make an accusation about your property, The owner of the property has to be there. If we're going to make an accusation regarding these two Edom, they have to be there. And since the Edom that was signed on the shtar as we began the shiur today are no longer alive, and they can't be there to defend themselves, so we can't, therefore, the halacha is they can't be there to defend themselves, and since they can't be there to defend themselves, when we try to discredit them, it doesn't work. So the pshat in the Gemara is that since, so there's a number of pshatim that the Rishonim offer. One pshat is that every achosha can lead to hazama. And since the achosha can lead to hazama, the halacha is that just like by hazama, the Edom who were going to be mazim have to be there, so too by achosha, the Edom who were going to be machish have to be there. Because it ultimately will lead to hazama. The other Rishonim take a different pshat. They're saying that the Gemara is teaching us that achosha and hazama, although are not the same, the halacha is that in some aspects they are the same. What do I mean? In some aspects they are the same. We have to have, just like by hazama, the Edom have to be there. By achosha, they have to be there as well. Rav Nachman, however, disagrees with Rav Sheshes, and he says that achosha and hazama are very different. And even though, as we just said, that everybody will agree by hazama, the Edom that we want to be mazim have to be there, the halacha is not that way by hachosha. Amalei Rav Nachman, ila have a kamon. What would be the halacha if the Edom that were coming to say said something which wasn't true? Or machlishinlei, and we say that you were disqualified Edom, anusamayisim, ktanamayisim, psula edomayisim, have a chashim. The halacha is we would accept what they said, and we would not pay attention to the Edom who are signed on the shtar. Because davalei Edom mechashis, it would be considered a situation of trey utrey. Even if we recognize the signatures on the shtar, and they verified it's their signatures, but the two other Edom who are disputing that they were not qualified at that point would be a situation of trey utrey. So hashtad lesnu. So certainly, says Rav Nachman, in a case where the Edom who are signed on the shtar aren't here, where the possibility exists. Dila havel kamon, had they been here, dilma have a maidalu. Maybe they would indeed say that what is being said is true. And we were disqualified, Edom. The halach is mehemni. We should certainly believe the Edom who are saying that there's a problem with the shtar. And because of this, in past, says Rav Nachman, uki trey lahadi trey. This is considered an halacha, a situation of trey against trey. And the Gemara says, whenever you have a situation of trey u trey, the halacha is that ukim imani b'cheskes mara. We leave the status quo. And that the loiva, if in the case of a shtar halva, will not have to pay the money. We leave the money with him until the malva could definitively prove that he owes the money. Says the Gemara, where do we have such a precedent? There was an individual who sometimes was of strong mental capacity, and sometimes he was not of strong mental capacity. And the Gemara said, "Vashatcha zav nixay, bezat sold some property." So two Edom came and said, that when he sold it, he was not mentally competent. Then we sold it, he was mentally fine. So we have here an impasse. Amar Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi said, what do we do in this case? Since it's uki trey, lahadi trey, we have two against two, and where we leave it is uki manim chaskus bashacha. So Rabbi Kiva Eger asks, why does the Gemara, what it wants to teach us, this very fundamental halacha that we find often in Shas, the concept of trey utrey, why does the Gemara have to bring a story with this individual who is a bashacha? The Gemara just is trying to teach us that there is a concept of trey utrey. Answers Rabbi Kiva Eger. If not for this story, we would have thought that Yachloiku teaches us the Gemara that even in the case of bashacha, where the chances of ever coming to the truth are difficult to come, because this person will never really know for sure what was his mental status when this transaction came. And therefore, there should be a strong argument that we should say yachloike, we should just divide up the asset that's in question. The halacha says that we don't do that. The halacha says we leave it where it was. Certainly, in our case, where it's trey, the halacha is that we leave it where it is. So Taisus says that this halacha that the Gemara just said, that we leave it where it is, we leave the status quo, is only by property. By real estate, we say it stays in the chazaka. But when we speak about matatlin, there we don't necessarily follow the chazaka. The Ritva disagrees. And the Ritva says that this halacha, that when we have this impasse, we just leave things where they are, doesn't make a difference if it's karka, or doesn't make a difference if it's metaplin. B'loy Amarin, says the Gemara, but this discussion that we just had about the case of the Barshatya, says the Gemara, was only relevant el d'isle chazaka d'avasei, where we know for sure that this property belongs to the Barshatya, and that is a question, was the sale of the property valid or not? But says the Gemara, avalesle chazaka d'avasei, but let's say we don't have, this Barshatya does not have a chazaka on this property. So if he doesn't have a chazaka on this property, so we don't know if it was ever his in the first place. So we say that kishishoytah zoven, that he was in a status of a shoytah when he bought it, kishishoytah zabin, he was a status of a shoytah when he sold it. So everything was equivalent. And since everything was equivalent, there is no reason that to invalidate the sale. The Rosh quotes the Ramah and says that when is there a problem with a transaction done by a shaita? That's when it involves cash. So cash, he doesn't have a financial transaction. He doesn't have the necessarily mental capacity to do it properly. But in the case of a matana, in the case was of a gift, coupled with the fact, points out the Rosh, that this individual is not really a full-fledged shaita. As the Gemara says, sometimes he is and sometimes he isn't. We could be more lenient and say that the transaction stands up. The Gemara goes back to what we spoke about a moment ago about a chosha and hazoma. Comes the Gemara Amar Bavua. When we speak about hazoma, hazoma can only take place in the presence of the Edom. Because as we said earlier, we're judging the Edom. And if you're judging somebody, that person has to be there when you're judging him. However, says Rav Avuah Machishim's Edom, Hachosha is not a question about the Edom. Hachosha is about the testimony, and there or about other issues could be done Shlebifneim. Says the Gemara, Vazom Shlebifneim, even though, as we just said, everybody agrees that Allah is that Hazoma cannot be done not in the presence of the Edom. It won't have the special halacha of hazama. As we mentioned earlier, whenever we speak about hazama and shas, there's a chiddush in hazama, because we accept the testimony of the second Edom more than we accept the testimony of the first Edom. And the question is why? And as the Gemara Masechta Makkos teaches us often, that the reason we believe him is a chiddush haTorah. It's something that the Torah tells us is the din, but that's only by hazama, not by chachosha. So even though we won't give a case of hazama where the people who are being spoken about are not there, all of the strength of hazama, we will treat it at least as chachosha. Amamar, im yesh edim shiksav yodim yod. Now the Gemara goes back to the braisa that we spoke about earlier in our shir, that if there are Edom, Shiksav Yadam Huzah, that could say definitively that this is their signature, or Shiksav Yadam Yadam Makamachar, or there's other way of verifying that this is their signature, Mishtar Shikaral of Error, the way we are able to establish that was because there was a shtar that those Edom were signed on, and it was brought up, it was contested, V'Huchsik V'Bezdin, and they and Beis Din was able to verify that this is indeed the signature, the halacha is a nemanim, then the Edim who said anusim hayu are not belief. So it makes the Gemara point. Karlov irin. When is the halacha that we could use a different shtar to verify the verify the shtar that's in question? Is if that shtar that we're using was a shtar that was contested. However, like Karavlov error, if it was not a shtar that was contested, loy. Says the Gemara Masailel Ravasi. This supports what Ravasi taught us. Dama Ravasi, Emekayim is a shtar. We cannot use a shtar to be a proof to another shtar. El Mishtasha Karlov error, unless it's a shtar that was contested, Vuchzik Bebezdin. And Rashi explains that if the second shtar was contested, and it was verified to be honest, that's a proof that that signature, that certification, is a valid certification. And the Torah, again, quoting the Rama, explains why is that the case. Because when the Dayanim come to verify a shtar, if there's no contesting that shtar, they may not really pay attention to all the details. If, however, it's a shtar that was contested, that's a proof that that shtar, that certification process, was a valid certification. The Shach gives a different explanation. He says that in a case where the shtar was contested, then we always have to be concerned that maybe the shtar that's being used as a proof to the veracity of the signatures was also a false shtar. But if that shtar that we're using to prove that the shtar that's in front of us is a good shtar was contested, so the Dayanim are very careful to look at that shtar and make sure that the signatures are not forgeries. And that's why we could be, that's why we need to have that kind of shtar. Amin Ador, Emekayim Sashtar, if the loiva claims that the shtar that's being presented that says that he owes money, the loiva claims it's a forged shtar, says an adoy, Emekayim Sashtar, al mishtei ksubis, that you have to have two ksubis with the had the same edim. And therefore, when we have two documents with the Edom signature, that's a great way to verify the signatures. I'm Mishtei Sadis, or you have two sale documents on a property, and the property was not just a sale document, where the people who bought the property were on that field for 3 years, and nobody contested. So that's a proof that that shtar is a good shtar. And the fact that that's a proof that it's a good shtar, now we have two such shtaris, and the signatures match up, then we could use that shtar to prove that these are the signatures. Omer of Ashi, Omer of Sim Rashi, one more condition. It's only if the shtar, the shtaris that we're using to prove the authenticity of the signatures is a shtar that was not presented by the person who's in the Stentira. But if it was presented by the person who's in the Stentira, then we have to be concerned that he might have forged all of the shtaris. And since we have to be concerned that he forged all the shtaris, explains the Rambam, that's why those shtaris cannot be relied on. As we just explained, maybe he forged these shtaris. Ask the Gemara, so if it's somebody else that's presenting the shtar, if we're concerned that this person is going to forge a signature, so why should we not be concerned, ask the Gemara, that he saw the signature elsewhere and then forged it? Answers the Gemara, Kulei Hai Lematzu Mechavin. And Rashi explains that since he doesn't have the shtaris in his possession all of the time, so for him to do such a perfect forgery is difficult. When you have the shtar in front of you, so then it's easy to do a forgery, not easy, but you have what to copy. But when you don't have the shtar in front of you, then you don't have what to copy, and the concern of forgery is diminished. A person who saw something happened, to write down what he saw, because he's concerned that he's going to forget what he saw, and then made Allah afilach kamishonim. He could say, looking at that piece of paper, he could look at that piece of paper and say testimony so many years afterwards. Comments Rav Huna, when is that going to be acceptable? That's only if he'll remember afterwards the story, and he now uses that document just to help him fill in some insignificant details. Rav Yechon Amar, Abishen Zoichem Atzmai. Even if he has no recollection or very minimal recognition, that he can rely on this document. But Rav Yochanan agrees that once he looks at the piece of paper, he remembers all of the details. Without looking at the piece of paper, without remembering on his own the details, we won't be able to rely on this. Amar Rav, Shmam Nam Rav Yochanan, Hani Beitrei Diyadi Sedusa. If two witnesses were called to be Edom, or Manchi Chad Menayu, and one of them forgot the details of what he saw, the halacha is mitka chad l'chavrei. His colleague could remember. And since his colleague reminds him, but as we said a moment ago, once his colleague reminds him, he remembers the details, even though without his friend reminding him, he wouldn't have never remembered anything, still the shtar is going to be considered, that the testimony would be considered a valid testimony. Dagos Oshri says that if a witness was called to testify in court, and he says as he comes to court that he had no memory of the incident, the halacha says, the Hagos Ishri, that he can't come back to court and say, well, now I remember what I forgot. Because as we learned earlier in the Amasechta, the halacha is kivin shegit shuvei nechayzer v'magid. Once he says that he forgot, he can't change his mind and say, I remember. The Ran disagrees and says that if a person claims that he doesn't remember of what he saw, and then he remembers, that that's not considered a situation of kivin shehigit shuvei nechayzer v'magid. The Mordechai says, it depends what he said. If he said any idea, if he says, I don't know anything about this story, then he can't change his mind and say, well, now I do. But if he says originally, ein zoicher, he says, I don't remember what happened, and then he comes and says, well, now I remember, that would be acceptable. Says the Gemara, Ibailuhu, that's my mai. If the way the aid's memory is jarred is by the Baldin himself, who reminds him, don't you remember that this is what you saw? What is the halacha? Rav Chaviva Amar, Rav Chaviva's opinion is, afila atzmai, if one of the litigants remind the aid, and then the aid says, yes, now I remember, he could say testimony. However, Ma'abarei, Rashi Amar, atzmai loy, if he only remembers because one of the baledinim remind him, it's not going to work. Says the Gemara, v'ilchasa, the halacha is, atzmai loy, if he was reminded by the litigant, that's not satisfactory. Because if, and as the Miri explains, when one aide reminds the other aide, so there's no reason to believe that the aide is saying anything but what is true. And if the second aide says, now I remember, it's good enough. But when he's reminded by a litigant in this Dintara, we need to be concerned that included in the reminder is also an element of him telling him details that may not be accurate. And therefore, we can't accept it. However, comes the Gemara, v'tzuvim rabbonin, but if the person who forgot the testimony was a Talmud Chacham, who's extremely honest, such a person will not say that he remembered something unless he truly remembers it. And therefore, afila atzmai, if the way he remembers it is by the litigant reminding him, then the halacha is that that's acceptable. The Gemara just taught us that although others can help the aide remember what he said, the litigant may not. And the Shulta Gebarin explains that we're concerned that the litigant may lead the witness and deceive or pressure him into remembering something that's inaccurate. The Rambam has a different pshat. The Rambam says, because it looks suspicious that the litigant is reminding the aid. Says the Tumim, that although, as the Agamar just said, a litigant can't be the one to help the aid remember, he could do so indirectly. That means he could say his version to the Dayanim on the Beis Din or to an outsider, and they'll try to remind the Edom. Since it's not he himself who was talking to the Edom, the Tumim says we could be lenient. The Beis Yosef says that if the aid, after being prompted by one of the litigants, says that he clearly, that he now remembers the entire incident, without this person reminding him, we believe him. Says the Beis Yosef, the Gemara is only referring to a situation where the aide says, I'm remembering, but he's saying, my memory is still not clear. But if the aide, after being reminded, even though the reminder was through one of the litigants, says, I'm telling you, I remember it totally independently, he will be believed. The Shush Yaakov says that just like our Gemara says, that we can't rely on a litigant to prod the witness's memory, the litigant's wife is also not going to be allowed to be the one to remind him. Because since we have the halacha throughout Shas of Ishtei Kegufei, so just like we're concerned about the litigant, the way he's reminding him, and it may not be 100% accurate, so too we have to be worried about the litigant's wife. But says the Shvus Yaakov, the halacha that we just said is only regarding the wife. What about a different relative of the litigant? Says the Shvus Yaakov, if it's a different litigant than the wife, a different relative of the litigant, then they would be accepted to remind him. There's a very interesting discussion on the Shailos HaTshuvos Ein Yitzchak from Rav Yitzchak Elchanan, Chelek Aleph, Eben Ezer, Siman Lamin Aleph. He discusses a subject that we discussed quite often in Masechta Yevamos, where we learned that Meshim Iguna Ikula Bar Rabbanan, and the halacha was that we are very lenient in allowing a woman whose husband disappeared and we can't find him to get remarried. And the question that comes up is if a body was pulled out of the water or out of whatever situation and a picture of that body was taken, can we rely on a picture? And the Paiskim say, going back to a concept that we discussed extensively in Masechta Yevamos, as long as that picture was taken within 3 days before body being schlepped out of the water, we could rely on a picture. Moreover, as related to Al-Gemara began that an aide who was concerned that as the years go by, he'll forget what he saw, he can make himself some notes to hold on to help him remember what happened. Say the Paiskim, the same halacha would apply to a picture. If the aide is concerned, or the aide indeed forgot what happened, and we bring him a picture, and by bringing him the picture, he remembers what happened. So just like our Gemara said, that we could rely on the notes that the aide has to accept the testimony, the halacha will be that we could also rely on a picture that the aide may have, or the aide may be presented with, or what did or didn't happen. And relying on that, the halacha would be that we could, by relying on that, the aide could say his testimony by him being remembered. And says the Gemara, Kihod Rav Ashi Abyadilei Pseudusel Rav Kahana. Rav Ashi knew some testimony that was pertinent to Rav Kahana. Amalei Midocha Mahai Pseudusel. So they said to Rav Kahana, they said, Rav Kahana said to Rav Ashi, do you remember what happened? Amalei Loi. So he said, no. So Rav Kahana is trying to prod Rav Ashi's memory, and he says to Vlav Hochi Vahochi Avi, isn't this what happened? I'm like, Loyadana, I don't remember. L'soif itker Rav Ashi, ultimately Rav Ashi remembered, Vasilei, and he said testimony on behalf of Rav Kahana. Chazilah Rav Kahana Dava Mechases. Now Rav Kahana saw that Rav Ashi saw that Rav Kahana is concerned. He's saying, how could you say testimony only because I, who am a litigant, reminded you? So Rav Ashi told him, Amlei, mi savrit alach mahamna? Do you think that I'm relying on you? Of course I'm not relying on you. Ana hudaramaya nafshi. I'm the one that remembered on myself. I pushed myself to remember, and therefore vitgri. But Ramos says that regarding this question that we're having here, that if the litigant reminded the aide, can we trust the aide or not? And the Gemara said if it's a tzurva merabonon, we could trust him. Says the Ramah, b'zman hazeh, we don't have anybody in the category of a Talmud Chacham that could be that we could have this halacha. The Knesset Doyle says that this halacha, regarding this halacha, even b'zman hazeh we have Talmid Chachamim, and that Gos Maimon says that the test is not regarding if he's a Talmud Chacham. The thing to look for is Yerushimayim. An individual who is a Yerushimayim, if he says, I remember on my own, we'll trust him. But if he's not a Yerushimayim, we can't trust him. Since the Gemara mentioned Edom who have to remember their testimony, here too the Gemara now begins a discussion about where memory is required. Tanan Hossam, the Mishnah discusses Hatlulius. We have a pile of earth, of rubble, along the side of the road. Hakrivus bein li'ah bein l'derech, whether these piles of earth are next to the city or next to the road, echa chadoshes v'echa yishanos, whether they're new or old, in all cases tameis. We have to be concerned that somebody was buried in that place, and they were buried in a place that's tall, and since they were buried in a place that's tall, the person who buried him, who buried this body there, buried them dafka in a place where there won't be any concern that anybody's going to step there. But if they're rechaikis, if they're far away from the city, hachadoshes, if they're new tyrus, we don't have to be concerned that somebody was buried there. Because if somebody was buried there, there would be people that knew. Hayishanus tameis. Says the Gemara, Ezer Kroiva, what is considered as close to the city? Because if it's close to the city, we need to be concerned that the woman took a baby maybe there and just buried him there, buried this corpse there, and she went herself and nobody knows about it. That's if it's within Chamishim Amma. But if it's if it's further away, she would be scared to go herself, and therefore there are people that know about it. What's considered that if it's old, and therefore it doesn't make a difference if it's close or far, you just people don't remember what happened over here? That's Shishim Shana, if it's over 60 years old, Divrei Meir. Rabbi Yehuda has different definitions. He says, Kroiva, Shein Kroiva Mena. There's nothing closer. Because if there's something closer, she would have buried this child in the closer one, not in the further one. Yishana is somebody that ain't, it doesn't depend on years. She'ein Adam Zaychoi. It's there and nobody remembers what was the history of this. My ear, the Gemara spoke about the Braisa began, the Mishnah began, the Mishnah that was quoted by the Gemara began with ear and derech. Ask the Gemara, my ear, my derech. Elay me ear, that it's a city, even though it's not near the cemetery. And derech means a road. Does that mean that since we don't know the status, the halach is we're going to be machmer? Ask the Gemara, Rav Shlokesh teaches us Masechta Nazir on the Samachay on the base. Ilu Matzu, whenever there's a way to come up with a reason to be Matar Eretz Yisrael, we're Matar Eretz Yisrael. So why over here are we machmer? And the Gemara Masechta Nazir teaches us, the Mishnah teaches us, that if somebody was digging in a field and he found a person buried there, the halacha is we don't have to be concerned that there are other bodies buried there. We assume that there's only this one body and it's not a cemetery. And you take out that body, rebury him, and need not be concerned about that property. And Kohanim could walk there. If you find two bodies, The halacha is you take out the two bodies, and you don't have to assume that that area is a cemetery. If you find three bodies, and they're buried the way bodies are normally buried, if there's only between 4 to 8 amis between these bodies, now we have to be concerned that that area is a cemetery, and we may not touch those bodies. And not only that, the halacha, we have to look for an area of 20 amis outside of where these bodies are buried, if there are any other bodies. If there are no other bodies, the halacha is that we don't have to be concerned that the tumah is past that area. Says the Gemara, let's say you had this area. You found only one body, you removed that body. And afterwards you found another body. And then after you took out that body, you found a third body. Says Rava, since at more one time did you have three bodies, we could be lenient. Even though we know there were three bodies in this area. Explains Rish Lakish, why is that the halacha? Because Ilu Matzu V'Taras Etz Yisrael, whenever we could come up with a reason to be lenient about the Tara and Tumah status of Etz Yisrael, we are lenient. So says the Gemara, why over here, according to the simple pshat, whenever we find a body, whenever we find a telulis, we have to right away be concerned that there's a body there. Didn't the Gemara Masechet Nazir just teach us that we're always lenient? Answers the Gemara, explains the Gemara, what it meant to say is Ira Smuch LeBeis HaKvaros, that the city we're speaking about is near a cemetery, and the Derech we're speaking about is Derech Beis HaKvaros. It's a Terech next to the Beis HaKvaros, and that's why there's more reason to be concerned. So the Rishonim ask a question. We often quote that the halacha is Safek Tumah B'Rishus Rabim. Whenever we have a Safek Tumah B'Rishus Rabim, the halacha is Tahor. Whenever we have a Safek Tumah B'Rishus HaYochid, we're Machmer. So why don't we just apply that rule here? So the Meiri says that even though there's such a halacha, we don't accept that in a place where there's reason to believe that there's a mace buried there. And since, as we started this piece, a Gemara, that when you have a telulis, there's strong reason to be concerned, we can't just say, Safek Tumah B'Rishus HaRabim Tahor. Says the Mabdech Shlomo Derech Beis HaKfaris, we could understand if it's the road towards the Beis HaKfaris, why we have to be Machmer. Why? The Zimn and Samri Beis HaShmashis, sometimes they're taking out somebody to be buried. It's Friday afternoon, and Shabbos is coming, and it's almost Shabbos, and they're not going to make it to the cemetery. Or Makruv, cover Batel. So they bury the Nifter wherever they can. Ela'ir Smuch LeBeis HaKfaris, just because the city's near a cemetery, Kula Beis HaKfaris Asli. When they need to bury somebody, they take him to the cemetery. They don't take him to just leave him in the Tlolis, answers the Gemara. Amram Tchanina, even when we have a city near a base, a Kfaris, we have to be concerned that somebody was buried in the Tlolis. B'taych Shanoshin Kavisham Nefleim, since that's where women have a tendency of burying their children who didn't make it, the fetuses didn't make it, or Mukeshchin Israeseim, or a Mukeshchin, if a limb from his body falls out, at chamisha ema, if it's within 50 amos of the city, ozli lechuda, she's embarrassed that her nafel passed away, and she goes and buries the nafel there. Tfei, if it's further away, devra inch bado, she's frightened to go herself, and she takes someone with her. Ul beis hakfaros azla, and she travels to the beis hakfaros, and hilkach. And we say that they certainly went to the basic forest, unless we know differently. Rameya says that what's considered, we learned a moment ago, that what's considered Yishana, if it's 60 years. So now the Gemara connects this point to what we've been discussing in our Shir. Hai Sedusa, that whenever there's a testimony, Achit Nishina Mitkar, until 60 years, it's likely that you remember what you saw, Tfeilo Mitka. More than that, you won't remember. Says the Gemara, it isn't a good proof. Because Lohi, In the case when we're speaking about this telulus, and we do or don't know if somebody was buried there, it's not something that we're obligated to remember. It's not a case where we were designated as witnesses. L'hosum hudloi ramulei. It's not something that I have to remember. So if it's not something that I'm obligated to remember, then the halacha is that I won't remember it past 60 years. Avol hocha, in our Gemara, kivin de ramulei, he was appointed as a witness. And part of being appointed as a witness is that you're responsible to remember what you were asked to remember. In such a case, afilu tuvanami, you'll remember even longer. And there's a beautiful pshat that I saw from the pasuk that the pasuk says regarding Esav's wives who were burning incense for the avodah zarah. And the pasuk says, v'tiyena moiris ruach, they caused aggravation liyitzchak lirivka. And the medrash points out, why does the pasuk say Yitzchak before Rivka? Explains the Medrash, because Yitzchak grew up in the home of Avram and Sarah, in a home where there was never any avodah zarah. Since he grew up in a home where there was never avodah zarah, so when avodah zarah was being burnt in his home, being worshipped, being burnt, being sacrificed, that was something that was terribly disappointing, bothersome to Yitzchak. Rivka, however, grew up in the home of Besul and Lavan. It was a home that was full of avodah zarah, and therefore it didn't bother her as much. So Chachma Matzman makes the point that the body, that how long did it take? How many years was it from when Rivka wasn't in her parents' home, was in her parents' home till this happened? And he makes the calculation that it was 60 years, says the Chachma Matzman. The exact concept that we just learned in our Gemara. Our Gemara says that even if something happened many years ago, you don't necessarily forget. What is the proof? Says the Chachmas HaMatzman, from the story with Yitzchak and Rivka, where we see that the pasuk mentions Yitzchak to Rivka because it bothered Rivka more than Yitzchak, because Rivka was still somewhat accustomed to it. What does it mean that Rivka was somewhat accustomed? It was so many years ago. So we see from here, like our Gemara just said, that even if something happened so many years ago, it still may be something that is in your memory and you will recall. The Gemara also said that the concern was of a mukeh shchin buried his limb there, which leads to an interesting discussion. What is the halachic status of a limb? If somebody, rechman slan lo'yaleinu v'lo'yaleichem, lost the limb of his body, is he obligated to bury it? From our Gemara, it seems that they are. There are poskim, however, say they're only buried because it's embarrassing not to bury it, but not that there's necessarily a halachic requirement to bury any part of a body until the person passes away. And that's why, for example, the minhag olam, most people's custom, is when they lose a tooth, they don't bury the tooth. Even the tooth is part of a person's body, but the person, Baruch Hashem, is healthy and is well and is alive, and he should stay that way, and that's why there's no chiv kavura.